Hi, ho, 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 good neighbors.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Wilson.
This is for you, good neighbors, fresh from the oven.
Well, thank you. What is it?
That is a plum cake. Ooh. On Christmas Eve, the people of Hertfordshire, England, take the cake, stick it on a cow's horn, then they throw cider in her face.
The malls close early over there.
Welcome to the Yuletide TV Podcast, a podcast where we watch and review a random Christmas episode to determine whether or not it's a Christmas classic. I'm Chris, and joining me throughout these holiday viewing festivities are my friends Brian. And John.
Oh, are we doing Tim Allen quotes?
We can do Tim Allen quotes.
Poor people aren't real and they should work harder.
Good start.
Bad John.
Tim Allen quotes, man.
And there will be many more where that came from, I'm sure. This is the fourth episode of our 20-episode sampling of Christmas-themed television. If this is your first episode, welcome. And if it's not, as always, thanks for coming back. Before we dive into today's Christmas episode, I'd like to do a little Christmas cheer check-in with my co-hosts. We've now watched 4 Christmas-themed episodes. Is that wearing on your resolve to keep Christmas in December at all, gentlemen?
Certainly isn't. Thanksgiving's right around the corner, and I don't think that we've only had, what, one episode that was super Christmassy. The other two have kind of been duds. So, I'm doing fine. John?
There's, like, designated times for Christmas and other holidays. And in the interest of patriotism, like, Tim Allen would, like, Ben Franklin would be sad if he took away Turkey Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I,
That was a good bit. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm... You know, it's there, but I think we're also, it's this weird flux where, like, you know, before I was like, oh, I'm kind of getting ready for Christmas, but now, you know, Thanksgiving is right here. So I'm like, I'm well within my means to just be like all in on Thanksgiving and Christmas can have its turn when it arrives.
Yeah. Keep them separate. Keep it compartmentalized. Enjoy the break before the big break.
Exactly. We'll get there, though. We'll get there.
Yeah, I'm stuck reading Tim Allen quotes because I want to be ready to compete with John on this. And holy shit, there are some real quotes here.
Oh yeah, there's some like actual racism, like full on.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking full at on the racism. Sexist. I'm looking at the sexist ones.
Oh yeah, I'm sure those are some real treats.
I'm sure he thinks gay people are an absolute equal set of people who deserve rights. That just seems like a thing that's within his character. But Chris, what episode? Would you like to tell me about an episode?
Yes, well, before we get into that, should we talk about, set up the episode that we watched for today?
Please.
Alrighty, well, as a reminder, we only have 2 rules for what gets covered on this podcast. 1, the episode must have at least a tangential connection to Christmas, and 2, it must be relatively easy to stream. So, today the episode selector has gifted us with... I'm Sheeming of a White Christmas from Home Improvement. Insert Tim Allen quote.
Am I illiterate? Because I thought it was scheming.
Sheeming, scheming.
Hold on.
It's a sheem. It's a scheme.
I'm going to say scheming.
Did I become illiterate?
Did you?
I don't know what sheeming is.
Oh my God.
It must be a regional thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm embarrassed now, but I'm just going to keep going with it.
Okay.
You're
okay.
God here, man. Sheeming.
Sheeming. Scheming. Siri?
What the hell's going down 3 hours south of me? Fuck.
It's trendy, man. It's hip. It's the hip new way to speak.
That's true. There's nothing hip here.
It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a Ponzi sheen. Yeah, scheme, eh.
Oh, buddy. What's going on with you, man?
Oh, this is...
Did she get hit on the head today?
Nobody's on board with me? Okay.
No. 0%. Well,
let me quick edit my summary so I don't need to say that word again. And...
Good call.
Good read.
The listeners pick us... pick me apart in the comments. Alrighty.
It's the best podcast content is he said the word wrong.
Hey, that's half the fun, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, this is the 12th episode of the series' second season, and it originally aired almost 30 years ago on December 16th, 1992. You can find it streaming on Hulu if you'd like to watch it for yourself. But if you haven't, here are a few details about what happened. So the crux of this episode rests on Randy and Brad having a gross misinterpretation of the phrase, charity begins at home. They're out collecting money to give to a shelter and get the bright idea that they deserve to pocket half the cash because of their hard work. Tim and Jill are slow to catch on to the scheme. Even after rummaging through their kids' pockets and finding new video games, comic books, a watch, and a locket, they finally catch on after Wilson blows up the kids' spot, telling Tim and Jill he gave them $10 when the kids said they had only collected five. The parents confront their kids about their stealing and send them to their rooms. While there, the boys realize they are the living definition of white privilege and maybe shouldn't steal money from kids who need to live in a shelter. They give these shelter kids their old toys they no longer want, and everyone has a Merry Christmas.
Allegedly.
I cannot stress enough the children they stole from were people that lived in inner city 1992 Detroit.
Tell us about what that was like, John.
Look, people have the internet, man. Actual hell, I presume. Like, Detroit's like a cute hipster place now. 1992 Detroit was like bombed out ghost town.
I mean, they based RoboCop in Detroit.
Well, that was
we've
like,
all seen RoboCop.
Well, this was like the time when Detroit lost like 90%, like it was like 50% of their population went from like the sixth biggest city to the like 45th or something. Oof. In like a 10-year span. So, yeah, I've ruined your Christmas now.
Thank you, John. That was very instructional. John's Auto Town. Take us through a drive down.
No. Please go on, Chris.
I think there is plenty for us to talk about in this episode, but before we really dive into it, I'd like to take you guys on a little bit of a journey, because I have a story to share with you that is related to this episode. It is a journey that this episode took me on that I would like to share with you if you'd like to hear it.
Of course.
So this episode, the main, you know, kind of where it turns on the dime is when, as most Home Improvement episodes do, is when Tim and Jill go talk with Wilson. And Wilson usually shares a little bit of wisdom. He's a very worldly man, so he typically takes something from another part of the world to help apply it to the situation the characters on the other side of the fence are experiencing. So in this episode in particular, he mentions a Christmas tradition from Hertfordshire in England. And that tradition consists of the townspeople taking a plum cake, putting it on the horn of a cow, and then splashing cider in the cow's face. And then if the plum cake falls forward off the cow's horn, they'll have a good harvest. And I just thought, what an interesting Christmas tradition. And is this a real thing? Which I don't know if you guys had a similar thought when you heard it or if you just kind of cruised by it.
I just
kind of like it.
There were too many words there, so I just kind of was like, yeah. I actually spent that time Googling who that actor was, because, like, I think I had to watch Home Improvement every day of my fucking life, because I grew up in rural Wisconsin, and goddamn do Green Bay stations love syndicating tool, like, Home Improvement. And also, the result of that, Chris, R.I.P. Wilson.
Yes.
Wilson died.
He's dead. He's been dead for a while.
No, well, like last year, but...
Oh,
yeah,
really?
I think, like, yeah, it was, like, 2000, earlier this year, maybe?
I was going to say, I thought I saw an E! True Hollywood Story, like, 10 years ago, and they were already saying he was dead.
He's just he's that elusive. He was that committed to the character of never appearing. They thought he was dead.
Oh, yeah, no, he died in 2003, John.
Oh, I'm a dumb boy. That's okay. But I think that tradition, like every other dumb tradition that existed in like Europe in the early parts of history, was just Like, yeah, probably. People didn't have didn't have electricity or the internet. They had to entertain themselves somehow. And how? What better way to entertain yourself by throwing booze at a cow?
Cow. Right. Well, and so that's what struck my curiosity, because I was like, why would someone do this? And so I went to the internet and I looked it up, and I could not find anything that referenced this. And I was just like, well, that's weird, because it seems too specific to be made up, right? And yeah. So, and why would you make this up? Like, why would this be your thing? So what do you do? If you can't find it online, what do you do?
You ask your parents?
Well,
you call someone, you have cold call Hertfordshire.
John is correct.
What?
So
you cold call Hertfordshire?
Now, I didn't call them. I found so Hertfordshire is a county. I found the county council's website, and they had a contact us form. And so I filled out a form that said, hey, I have a podcast that I'm doing research for, and I came across this Christmas tradition, and I was wondering if it's true. And lo and behold, 24 hours later, someone got back to me.
Oh my God. It's a Christmas miracle.
What did, like, I hope that email started with just 7 question marks. And then maybe making fun of podcasts in general.
I hope it started with a, yes, thank you for your inquiry.
I was very apologetic in the letter, saying, I know this sounds really silly, and I apologize for asking you about it if I seem just like a dumb American.
Well, that's good. You spoke their language. Yeah. You started with an apology, but we're demanding with your question.
Yes, but okay, so I get this email back, very helpful gentleman from the county library, because, hey, of course, librarians kick ass, man. Like, they know how to find shit and where to look for information. So he gets back to me and he goes, I can't find anything about this. I've never heard of this before. I can't find anything in local records about it. But as I kept searching for it, I did actually find a similar tradition that takes place in Hertfordshire County, which is Hertfordshire County is H-E-R-T, Fordshire. Hertfordshire County is H-E-R-E, Fordshire.
Oh, man, a show starring Tim Allen, wildly confusing places in a foreign country and then using them for comedy. Crazy.
And let me tell you, I did go back and check the closed captioning. They do say Hertfordshire. So now that I know the right place, now my search options are opening up a little bit more. Now I'm finding some results. Okay? So this is a tradition, or was, I should say. Now, of course, now that I know the right place, I had to email that library and also see if there was any truth to this. Mostly I was curious as to whether or not it's something people still do. And the answer to that seems to be no. That no one.
Thank God. That, dude. It sounds awful for the cow.
Yeah, PETA would not dig this at all. PETA is gotta be opposed to just. And then you just huck a beer at a cow and you just call it a day.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, but it does have some very interesting history about it. So there is a precursor part of this tradition. It seems to have like some pagan origins that were then co-opted by Christianity because, you know, it's Christmas, so of course.
Hell yeah.
So what actually happens is this is a tradition called wassailing the cow. And what happens is the farmers go out into their fields and they make a circle of 12 small fires with a very large fire in the middle. And they just burn that shit while they're drinking and just kind of shouting at each other, I guess, is most of what I figured out.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes. Fly me to Hertfordshire.
The Christian co-opting of this is that now, oh, like, the big fire is Mary and the 12 fires are the 12 apostles, but whatever. Now, there's a lot of debate on, like, I found a lot of conflicting reports on this. So whether how much of the cow is involved, I saw something where like, oh, we toast all of the cows that the farmer owns and oh no, we just bring one cow into the house, or all the people go from the fields directly into the barn for the best cow. But pretty much it is as described on the show. Like, they put the plum cake, they put it on the horn, they splash the cider in the cow's face. But first they toast the cow, and they say this toast. Here's to thy pretty face and thy white horn. God send thy master a good crop of corn. Both wheat, rye, and barley, and all sorts of grain. And next year, if we live, we'll drink to thee again. And then splash.
Bam.
Never fucking change, England. I love you. Send me there. Let me party with you. I'll hate Christmas so much less.
John, I feel like you could get that started up in your neck of the woods. You got to know someone, you know, someone with a field.
I mean, like back home, yeah, I know farmers that, and like, I hate to be this guy, but like, farmers are shitty to cows, so they'd probably let me throw beer at them. But it would have to be like the Wisconsin version of it, so like, just like dump a spotted cow in its face or something.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's got to be a wheel of cheese and a spotted cow.
Yeah, wheel of cheese on the horn and a spotted cow. There we go.
Yeah. Good. If it has to be a baked good, it'd be like a Scotcheroo or some shit would be acceptable, yeah. I guess. But
right. I think, though, the American version of it in Wisconsin is doing it on the 4th of July, and if the wheel of cheese melts off the cow's horn, then you got yourself a good season.
But there inexplicably has to be a gun involved somehow, too.
So I saw a lot about like the different ways that they get the cake off. There was a lot of, oh, you tickle the cow, you prod the cow. So maybe you just shoot the gun by the cow and startle it, and that's how you get the wheel of cheese.
No. Here it is. All right, it is in the dead of winter for Christmas, right? You put the wheel of cheese on the horn, and you try to shoot the wheel of cheese off the cow's horn with a gun. And no. If you kill the cow, then that's not good.
You did a bad.
It's going to be a bad harvest.
You ruined Christmas, but if you
shoot the cheese, then Brett Favre will come and bless your home.
Yeah. Brett Favre will come. He'll fuck your oldest daughter. And
God.
He'll do it in Crocs, too. Which would be the best part of that.
Well, the Packers will win
10 games that year. There it is.
Right, right. Yeah. The nice thing about it, though, is if you do kill the cow, Brett Favre will still send a picture of his balls to your oldest daughter. So there's a consolation prize there. Brett Favre is still involved.
He'll send some weird voicemails. That, like, story's old, but those... If you ever feel sad, just look up those voicemails. Because cool. They're very funny. And you won't feel as your life is lonely anymore. Hey, Chris, speaking of rural areas and stuff, do you like the kids' names?
In this episode? Randy.
No one.
Randy, Brad, and Mark, you know, just...
Oh, man. One of these names is not like the other.
No, they're all like the other.
Weirdly, all of America develops a gross crush on a toddler named Randy. The 90s, everyone.
Oh, man. A Randy with a fucking mullet.
Dude, Brad's mullet is...
Oh, is that Brad's mullet? It.
Brad's
the blonde. Jonathan, Randy's the blonde. Is,
Randy's JGT,
Randy Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Yeah,
JGT.
And as soon as I was done with the episode, I typed in if JGT has been on Last Man Standing. And he has.
Multiple times, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, correct.
Yes.
So so one of the brothers has a super fun acting credit. Chris, which brother do you think it is?
It's Brad. He was in the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
Fuck yeah, Brad. Yeah, he was. He was that mean bully.
Very... Oh, what?
Yeah, at the beginning.
He has, like, so many acting credits. Jesus. Brad is apparently the only good actor in the show.
That's not true. You talk about the nation falling in love with a boy named Randy. I mean, you see why in this episode. I mean, he is just smooth as silk,
oh, yeah.
Just coaxing his brother into stealing from poor people.
Yeah, he didn't have to, you know, do a whole lot of that to wrap it up. It was just kind of like, hey, you want to steal from a charity? And it was like, sure. Also, you're dumb.
Well, he's that's like his shtick. And then, like, the younger one doesn't have his shtick because he grows up a lot less cute, so they have to make him a goth because it's the 90s, and Tim Allen needs a thing he doesn't understand.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's Tim Allen.
That's how much Home Improvement I had to watch growing up. That much. That I know that plot line.
I feel like we all watched a lot of Home Improvement growing up. Brian, I mean, maybe you didn't, but I mean...
No, we did not.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, no, Home Improvement wasn't part of my, like, routine growing up. Like, I didn't absorb any Home Improvement, Simpsons, or name another, like, mainstream thing at the time that I might have missed out on.
I'm trying to remember, like, I think we had, like, the stereotype 90s block of, like, when you'd come home from school, the shows that would run, and it was, like,
oh yeah,
an hour of Home Improvement, and then,
Fresh,
like...
Fresh Prince.
Fresh Prince was before Home Improvement.
Yep. Didn't do Fresh Prince.
It went Home Improvement into Simpsons.
Yeah,
which is like a drastic change of quality.
I had enough Home Improvement to be jealous of that bedroom and all the cool shit that they had in it, like the beds built into the walls and like all the places to sit. Like I remember being very envious of that kind of room. It was very cool to me.
Yeah, but did you have to share rooms with your brothers?
For a brief period of time.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe you would have been better off in a setup like that then. Yeah.
Check your privilege. Some of us grew up without siblings.
Oh. I'm not docking it. I'm just saying I didn't.
Do you guys want to do a promo for the show where we ride a snowmobile in front of a green screen?
I think that should be our next Instagram post.
Can we talk about that whole like B plot for a minute? Because I summarized what happened in the episode. There is also a B plot where it's just Tim, and the plot is Tim puts on a Christmas show, and that's it. And an a cappella group called Manhattan Transfer shows up, and
Al Santa.
It's mostly.
I bet you Manhattan Transfer was like a thing too in the 90s, because that's like when they brought back all the shitty old forms of music and they're like, yeah, we got to give this a try again. And then after like 2 years, people are like, we're good.
Guys, Manhattan Transfer is still active.
Well, how old are they? Because they were old in this 30 years ago.
Older.
So before I went down my rabbit
hole. No, they replaced people for sure.
Oh, no, yeah.
Doesn't look like it.
Oh, no, they definitely have. Read that Wikipedia. Oh,
yeah, there's like people with like color hair, and they were already like too old.
All right, never mind then. Yeah, none of the original folks are in it. It looks like.
Yeah, but before I went down my Hertfordshire Christmas tradition rabbit hole, this was where I was going to spend the bulk of my research, was talking about Manhattan Transfer, but.
I like one of their things on Wikipedia is their like forms of music they do is Brazilian jazz.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which is exotic.
It is.
Do we want to make that our sound?
Oh, and also the Tim is the only person who's been in both iterations. So you go, Tim Hauser. You're undoubtedly a better person than Tim Allen.
The better Tim. Of the episode.
You've never been to prison for selling cocaine and then made fun of people for selling cocaine.
Jesus Christ. I'm learning so much about Tim Allen.
He said some
shit.
Like,
I knew about the cocaine. I knew about the cocaine.
He's like a guy who got successful kind of in spite of himself and then held that over people. But, you know, that's...
Sounds like a good guy.
That's showbiz, baby.
I guess.
Yeah. I know we all want to do a healthy amount of Tim Allen bashing, but let's talk a little bit about the episode first, and we can save that for dessert if we can. So, I mean, overall, I mean, we've kind of talked a little bit about our familiarity with it, but what are our thoughts overall about this episode? Do we like it, not like it, highlights, lowlights, certain things that stuck out to you?
It was good. I liked it as a Christmas episode. I thought it had a good Christmas message to it. It had the right amount of Christmas attached to it without being overly so. And you know what really stuck with me was, goddamn, that is how you discipline children, and that is how I got disciplined growing up. And it struck a chord.
To me, it seemed like they got off a little light. I don't know why, but
yeah, they embezzled.
What? So, like,
also, like, the end of that episode is supposed to be sweet, but really it's like, hey, let's give these kids our trash.
I mean, I think that's kind of a sweet message, because, like, at this time, right, like, you're like, 7 o'clock TV, like, in 1992, the kids weren't upstairs playing with iPads or whatever, right, like, watching a Disney right. movie on an iPad, everyone was watching a TV show together, so I think it's kind of a good idea to, like, get kids into charitable giving.
Which, right.
Like, hey, you don't play with all your toys, you're aging out of them, and you see the cool kids on TV doing it.
Well, my thing was just that, like, overall conversation when they uncovered the Ponzi scheme and confronted the kids about it. It was very abrupt, like, hey, we're going to give you a chance to step up and tell us what you did wrong. And if you don't, trap's already set, motherfucker. Hope you like shame.
Can we talk about the other awesome thing from this time that, like, briefly touches in this episode, when they were shaming the kids? Because I liked before video games had product placement, or, like, anything had product placement, so the game was just Barbarian 2.
But they couldn't get an actual video game to...
Yeah, like, there's 0% chance that happens, like, nowadays, because that would have been, like... Oh no, they stole Jack and Daxter steal Neo Tokyo. Did you pay for this, Tim?
They would have shown them playing it.
Actually, Barbarian 2 is a video game.
For real?
Yeah, but it's not for the Game Boy. It's for the Amiga 500 and the Atari ST.
But does the time frame make sense?
Yeah, it was 1991.
Hell yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
They had another version of it that was for... like a lot more things that don't exist anymore. It released 1988, but it wasn't for the Game Boy. There was no Barbarian for the Game Boy.
Do you think this was product placement or one of the writers was a fucking nerd?
I think one of the writers was a fucking nerd, because it didn't look like a Game Boy game case either.
No, it really game. Didn't.
No. I know what those look like, and that wasn't it.
I'm just old enough to know what those look like.
just made it.
I thought it was, but just going back to trying to focus, thank you for the allowing me an ADHD episode, but like, it was pretty, it was like a good Christmas episode. I thought it was an overbearingly Christmas. I knew exactly what, like, the little plot was going to be, and I was not disappointed. Wilson got to say a thing, and two old fucking white people boned underneath the mistletoe, so neat.
Oh, and one child was completely ignored the entire episode.
That's what he do, man.
I like to imagine that child was simply blinded at the beginning and is just wandering around lost through the neighborhood the rest of it.
Are you guys ready for a John Hates Everything About Christmas hot take?
Give it Go to me. It.
All Christmas lights are obnoxious. There are no cool Whoa. Christmas lights. Stop Whoa. Having Christmas lights.
Whoa. You know, my work, we're not allowed to have Christmas lights. We have, like, I don't know. I think there's someone there that's very environmentally conscious. So they're like, this is a waste of energy. And it's like, shrug, I guess so, you know?
But you can get, like, Christmas LEDs now and stuff.
Those are so much worse.
Why? Yeah, because they're brighter.
Dude, there's this one house that I had to drive by all the time leaving work that was, like, they wanted to Christmas, but they didn't want to commit to Tim Allen lights, but they still wanted to ruin their neighborhood, I suppose. And they just had, like, 75 of those LED lights all set to strobe of, like, different colors. And there would just consistently be enough time where it'd be, like, red and blue together. I'm like, oh, someone's for sure dead. And it would get me just, like, every time I rounded a corner.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, like, why is there 75 cop cars? Oh.
Jesus.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
that's what's going on. It's Christmas, and they're stupid.
John, I got to disagree with you, man. I think when Christmas lights are done well, they look great, especially when a row of houses have done them well. You just get a nice row of houses at Christmas. But to your point, there's a lot of shitty products out there that people will just throw up and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do this year. It doesn't look good. I think there's more shit than there is good these days.
I mean, if you can do the, like, and I pity your neighbors, but if you can do the, like, shit to, like, Transylvanian Orchestra and show talent with your Christmas decoration, I'm all for it. But, like, there exist places to go see Christmas lights put up by professionals. You have to go there if you're dating probably anyone, and then you get to have sex after. That's, like, the only acceptable version of those lights to me.
There's a place here in Utah called Thanksgiving Point that does Christmas lights every year. Don't ask me why it's called Thanksgiving Point. I don't know. All I know is that when we were done with our date there, we went to In-N-Out, and I had a burger.
Doesn't sound like sex, Brian.
It's not. It is so not.
I don't know if that was innuendo, and if it was, it was really well done. Also, keep the thanks and Thanksgiving. You know, come on, Thanksgiving Point.
Well, it sounded like Brian was pretty thankful for that in and out, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm married now, so it could have been. It wasn't, but it could have been.
True. Let's venture into like old white guy jokes. Well, I hope you remember that in and out because it's the last you'll be getting for a while.
Careful, you'll turn into Tim Allen.
Oh no.
I feel, you know what I like about Al is he had like four lines this episode. And he's still a character I remember.
He spent a majority of that episode either under a Santa suit or in a chimney.
I actually wonder if, like, Al. Maybe, like, dude couldn't show up that day. And they just, like
put did it. Some ADR work.
Yeah, just had a similarly, like, averagely built man. Also, fuck Tim Allen for calling Al fat. Dude is, like, 15 pounds over, if that. Fuck you, Tim.
Yeah, that's not cool, man.
Garbage, and you're a Lions fan.
I will say, I mean, as much as I know Tim Allen now is not a good person, I did find myself laughing at this episode a lot more than I expected to. I think this is, out of our stretch so far, easily the funniest episode we've watched.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, a lot of the jokes we had. There's some 90s-ass cringe, but, like, everyone has pretty good comedic timing, and, like, I like that it's before we're all sad, so, like, the jokes are wholesome and nice. It feels good.
It's a really good family comedy.
There's something very wholesome about this episode. I mean, you get that all the way to the end. I mean, you get it with the message of the episode, as we've already talked about, with, like, punishing the kids, but then the kids seeing, like, oh, hey, but maybe we're pretty in a pretty good spot this Christmas. We can help somebody else out. But also just at the end where they, like, wish their viewers a happy holiday. That's such a quaint notion that you don't really see in shows anymore. But, like, all these 90s shows, like, they always used to do that. Like, they always used to end the episode with, like, a Christmas card to their viewers, which is kind of a nice sentiment that you wish some shows would still partake in.
I think that comes with having a live studio audience, because when you're done filming in front of a live studio audience, you wish them a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. So why not extend that a step further to everybody watching at home?
I didn't even think about the live studio audience, but that makes the show make so much more, like, sense in how it was, like, staged in my head. Because they're facing forward, like, a noticeable amount and stuff, like, they're facing out to the crowd a lot, and, like, there's, like, two sets. I don't know, maybe it's just nostalgia tick for me, but I was, like, because I had 90s, whatever, it's like, oh, this was lovely, everyone's nice, and I, like, the mom character has a busy family, but isn't sad about it, and Tim Allen isn't, like, a monster, he's just a, like, he's not even, like, destructively dumb dad, it's just, like, he's dumb and it's cute.
Yeah, he's still, like, pretty competent.
I you can really see, like, some of the chemistry he has with the other people he's working with, too. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I definitely noticed, like, two or three times where the actress who plays Jill, she, like, You can see her almost breaking. Like, she's just laughing so hard at what he's doing that she almost doesn't, like, recover the scene to get off her line.
There was a couple moments. Yeah. Sorry. For a second, I thought Jill was his producer. No, you're talking about the wife. But, yes, she almost said, I'm going to hit you in the ass or something like that. You saw her, like, catch her swear and held it back. It was fun.
They just seem to be having a grand old time all around.
It also, using the live studio audience to, like, the crowd cut for Tim's cable access show makes no sense, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were they also there during the promo? They weren't there when they were filming the promo. Were they just in the actual episode, I think?
No, I don't think they were.
I think they only do the crowd cuts. They only did the crowd cut when they were, like, they had...
Manhattan transfer.
Yeah.
Right.
everyone's favorite band, Manhattan Transfer.
Everyone's favorite acapella band.
That's like some nine. That was the 90s cringe. You had like
that was a bad joke, and I was like, man, you guys have a lot better jokes than this. I also like, I started watching this episode. One of my first notes was someone thought this was a lot funnier than it is. Now, it won me over pretty quickly after that, but just the beginning, especially that whole promo sequence at the beginning, is so drawn out, and they're not doing anything. They're literally just bouncing on that snowmobile. They're not saying anything. They're not really doing any funny actions. They're just, and it goes on for like 2 minutes before they start switching it over to the funny backgrounds and having Tim pull out a rifle and a golf club or whatever the hell it is.
That, whatever, man. Blue screens are always funny. I think the bit is supposed to be that, like, he keeps on cranking up the snow thing to try to fuck with it.
Right.
I guess. But, like, I guess it's not noticeable.
Yeah.
I think the show is probably funny when they let the actors improv, because there's, like, a lot of, like, smoothness to it. But, like, you can tell there's certain bits that, like, a writer, like, needed them to say. Where it's, like, and I think Acapulco is one of them.
Yeah.
Like, he noticeably just, like, does not have a delivery there. And, like, the rest of his jokes are pretty much just, like, react. Because, like, he's not really, like, an actor, right? At this point, he's just, like, a stand-up comedian with a deep voice. So he gets to be Buzz Lightyear. So, I guess, thank you, Tool Time, for Toy Story.
Yeah, I don't know if you stayed and watched through, like, they had, like, little bloopers at the very end where they're kind of running different lines. But, like... he's just trying to, like, get something off that'll land.
And it's, like, got it. Like, it's a... I don't know if the show was, like, immediately, like, successful and everyone wanted to kidnap JTT. But, like, they probably didn't figure the show out till, like, 4 seasons like every other TV show.
Yeah, but it was... I mean, I think by the fact that you and I both said we watched it, and, again, we're talking about syndication, but, you know, I think... from what I recall, I mean, that was one of the top shows of the 90s for a while. Like, it faded off in the back seasons, but I think for a while there, like, it was up there just behind, like, Seinfeld and Friends and, like, some of those, like, it was a top 10 sitcom for a while.
They had 204 episodes.
Yes.
It, like, pretty much just ended because JTT was like, I'm bored, right?
Yeah, I think they did one season. Well, I think they did one season after he left, and then they wrapped it up.
They should have That 70s Showed it and just got a similar kid. Oh, just like a slightly off-brand version.
Hey, man, you can replace Topher Grace. You can't replace JTT.
You sure can't. You know who actually, I saw an episode without Topher Grace in... That 70s Show, and you know who they had as an extra character to replace him?
Seth Meyers, man.
No,
Seth Meyers' brother.
Brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Josh. Oh, even worse.
Oh, gross.
And I was like, what the hell?
So, ugh.
You don't exist outside of the occasional late night episode.
Hey, don't you just exist to go to the bar with your brother?
Which is a pretty good reason to exist.
Wouldn't know, Brian. Check your privilege.
God, shit. Brian, that's twice in one episode, man. God, get your shit together. Oh, boy.
Next thing you're going to tell me is the next episode, Seventh Heaven, and it's all about siblings.
Can we vote to veto Seventh Heaven?
There are too many bad people on that episode, on that show.
Yeah, like, I know I've been, like, real hard on old Timmy Allen for having, like, trash politics, but, like, Seventh Heaven Dad is an actual monster.
Oh, no, 100%.
And just Kabil recently came out as an anti-vaxxer, so...
Yep.
Yeah, that's like a show full of actual devils.
Seventh Heaven.
No.
What?
Okay. Well, have we hit everything we want to talk about? I think, you know, Christmas, I think we've all said pretty good Christmassy. I think from an accessibility standpoint, pretty easy to drop into. Brian, I think you're the one who's had the least familiarity, so I think you can be the best judge that.
No, it's pretty easy to drop into. You know, it's a really easy setup. There are kids. Tim Allen's the husband. He's got a
to be honest, this is probably the easiest episode to drop into we've watched so far. There is almost no ongoing plot threads that it ties into. I feel like there's something going on the Tool Time side, but again, nothing happens in that part of the episode, so we don't really need to worry about anything that might be going on long term there.
I don't think like this show had like developed plots until like many seasons later, right? Because then they're like, I think like the only like point of conflict, and this is my brain is reawakened, is that doesn't like Jill just not like Brad's very nice girlfriend? Isn't that like the only like plot of this show for like 4 seasons?
Well, there's like, there's a bunch of stuff like that's little that doesn't like, it's always going on in the background. Like, I think there's one thing where like Tim's brother gets a divorce and moves in with them with his twin daughters because they needed to do the, you know, they need to have cute kids on the show still because all the boys got old. So just shit like that.
I remember there's like a midlife crisis thing where he builds a hot rod or something, like a marriage.
Oh yeah, and that lasts
like eight
half,
seasons. In.
Yeah, that lasts like the whole fucking show. And Jill becomes a psychiatrist or something. That also goes on in the background for like forever.
I think there's like a very Spider-Man comic book-esque, the goth kid does drugs episode. Two or something, a couple episodes.
They do a lot of like, special episodes, I think, in the later seasons.
Because I remember, when I was at, this show gets canceled when we're 9, because we're all about the same age. So, I remember, being way too young to see that episode, and just, I had Tool Time. It's fun and accessible when you have to watch it with your family. And then I just remember that episode being like, oh god, this means my parents are going to talk to me.
Every child's worst fear.
Oh, no.
Serious discussions. Well, should we do our final judgments on this one then?
Let's do it.
All right. As a reminder, our 3 final judgment criteria are Christmas classic, which means it is a great Christmas episode that you would want to watch year after year. A pair of socks, which means it'll do the trick in a pinch, and lump of coal, which means it is just bad all around. So, who wants to start today? I'll let you guys choose.
I think this is the first time I'm going to say something's watchable, because it's a pair of socks, baby. Or no, I think Gilmore Girls was also watchable, but this is watchable. Yeah, I think I would be like, probably, if I was like, we all celebrate Christmas our own way, and if I was like, 10, 12 beers deep, and someone was like, hey man, Home Improvement Christmas episode marathon, I'd be like, yeah, fuck it, let's roll. That sounds pretty sick.
That actually sounds so fucking delightful to just be like, late night Christmas, be kind of drunk, and watch some of this stuff.
I think I'd be like way into it. I hope none of the episodes are like sad.
That's going to be if we hit our 20,000 mark for our Patreon.
Yeah, there you go.
No, man, that's a case of beer marker. So get to 30. We'll do that.
We'll do a live commentary where we just get drunk and watch them.
Maybe 60. We need just like one dirty 30. It'll be fine.
Oh, that would be great.
Brian can Skype in.
No.
With limited alcohol Utah beers.
Well, hey, hold on now. I don't appreciate being singled out like that.
I didn't move.
Hurts because it's true.
We have full strength beer. We have it.
Yeah, when
whatever, you beardless weirdos. Brian, how do you feel about this episode?
I would give it 7 out of 10.
I think we're going to need to hear all 7 of them, please.
Yeah.
Those got worse over time. I'd say it's a really nice pair of Christmas socks, kind of echoing what John said. Not going to go out of my way because it didn't make me laugh the hardest I've ever laughed, but it was very well tied into Christmas.
Yeah, I'm going to toe the company line here, and I'm going to say a very nice pair of socks. It's got those good Christmas feels. Again, funniest episode we've watched so far. I would also say most Christmassy episode we've watched so far. But again, my criteria for hitting that Christmas classic is I would want to watch it year in, year out. And I think because the B plot of this episode is pretty non-existent, and I think it's just like a little too, I don't know, it's like a little too trite, which is okay at Christmas, but there's just something about it where it's like, I don't want to watch these kids learn this lesson every year. I'd rather see something else happen. So very nice pair of socks from me as well.
Smart wool socks, if you will.
Or just something, you know, fun and flashy, but, you know, comfy.
These are like the socks you wear to gatherings where you know you have to take your shoes off. So they have to be like, have a fun pattern.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Or like something you wear to that Christmas Eve midnight mass where you know like, oh, I got to dress nice everywhere else. But my socks can be fun. And that's something only you and Jesus will know.
Ooh. Hot Catholic takes by Chris Sweetlick.
I got him, baby.
Tune in for our side podcast.
Nobody wants that podcast. Not even Chris. Well, I think that's going to do it for Home Improvement. Would you guys like to know what we are watching next?
Please, God.
Yeah, if you don't tell me, I'll scream.
Well, we don't want that. For episode 5, we're going to have 5 episodes done, a quarter of the way through. We're almost there. And this is going to be completing a somewhat impromptu home-based trilogy of episodes because we're going to be looking at A Very Tanner Christmas from the TV show Full House.
Hey.
So we'll have House, Home Improvement, and Full House. House.
Brian, how many walls did this have on the house scale?
Ooh, well, we're going to find out. We're going to have to determine it. I mean, it's a full house, so it sounds like it's got all 4, but...
Well, I mean, but this episode is like, I think a 3-waller for, like, 3.5 walls.
I'm going to say 4 walls, scale. But no door for this one.
An incomplete. Either way, very good house. Almost complete.
Almost complete.
3 walls, separate garage.
Ooh. You should really do house first before garage. It's a person who's done a little construction, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And just, hey. That's how they live their life, man. Who am I to judge?
When the house is so full, you know, you gotta expand.
I'm excited for an episode where no one has gross politics that I know of.
Bob Saget's a pretty gross dude, but I don't think quite the same way.
Is he?
You can be like a shitty comic, like that's talks like whatever. Be a bad comic. That's not. Don't encourage people to ruin the country.
So yeah, just pulling up Wikipedia side by side Wikipedia pages, like not going in depth, but table of contents for Bob Saget credits charity work. And if we look at Tim Allen,
no charity work
at all.
Tim Allen, the secret plot of this episode was him already starting to appeal to right wingers by saying charity just steals from you. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
What?
We do not have time to go down that road today.
No, we don't.
That episode is streaming on Hulu, A Very Tanner Christmas from Full House, if you want to watch it before our next episode, which will be in 2 days. Till that time, if you could, be so kind, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. You know, we're getting it going. We are a train chugging along these tracks, and we are picking up steam. So just keep helping us out by doing that stuff. If you haven't already, if you have already, thank you so much. It helps in such a big way to just get some more eyeballs on what we're doing here and just help people enjoy their holiday season in what can be a stressful time.
Say nice things. My mom will read all of them.
Yes. Also that. Also a very important thing to always remember is that John's mom is looking at every review, and if you don't say nice things, she'll be upset with John.
I won't get to have Christmas this year if you guys aren't nice.
It's true. I've heard his mom say that.
Oh.
Hey, man. I know what I signed up for.
Yeah. If you want to say nice things to us directly, you can also email us at yuletidetv@gmail.com and find us on Instagram and Twitter at yuletidetv. So follow us there, and we'll keep you posted on the happenings going on during our holiday season.
Cool.
Cool. Well, until next time, I've been Chris.
I've been Brian.
I'm John. Still.
And next year, if we live, we'll drink to thee again. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
We're glad you're all alive.
Special thanks to Martin at the Hertfordshire Archives and Local Studies and Lauren from the Hereford Library for their help researching the origins of the Christmas tradition mentioned in today's episode. Sleigh Bell sounds provided by Michael Koenig from soundbible.com and Joy to the World provided by freexmasmp3.com.